Hello, this is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene, and today we're broadcasting live from, we're not actually broadcasting live, we're doing our podcast.
We're recording.
We're recording it at KumaCon. Am I talking too loud or not loud?
No, you're good. Okay. You're good.
This is always harder for me because Saul doesn't actually edit these very much, so you'll have to forgive me if I stutter and stuff like that.
Well, I might edit. No, you're right. I don't edit these hardly ever at all. So we were here at KublaCon, which is in Burlingame, California, south of San Francisco. And KublaCon is the West Coast. The total attendance is pretty high. It's like, I guess they're gauging or forecasting about 4,000 people here.
Yes, and they put us in a corner, and literally, and it's pretty
a little cubby.
You probably hear the roar of the crowd behind you.
Yes, the dull roar of people playing games and just talking. So we decided we wanted to talk a little bit about the games we started playing this year. And one of them we've talked about on the podcast before has been Shadowrun. I ran that over, it was going to be a one-shot over
New Year's Eve.
And it was pretty popular with the peoples. So
our people are easy to please, though, so just so you know.
I don't know about easy to please, but they really wanted to try it again. They wanted to try it again, and we've started running that instead of playing Jolene.
Fifth edition
game, which I was kind of happy with because I got to play. But I don't mind running. I like running. And Shadowrun, you know, is a system I've always wanted to play. I always wanted to run, and I ran a long time ago, 20 years ago. We got the new 5th edition, but did you know, Jolene, that 6th edition is coming out this summer?
6th edition of Shadowrun?
Yes.
Is it going to be a bigger book?
I know. I already
hurt myself picking up that book.
I think they say they're going to streamline it, believe it or not.
I don't know what that means, streamline it.
They'll make it less rules, easier to get into.
Really?
That's what they say.
I think people will enjoy that.
We just wanted to talk about that. And then what else did we play?
Well, one of our favorite games that we play is Lords of Waterdeep.
Yes, we play a lot of Lords of Waterdeep. We like playing it at conventions because we play with a few different people than we normally play with. We play with a guy called Paul. He's a very good strategist.
He taught us the game.
And it's one of those games that usually it takes about 3 hours when we play the long game, so it doesn't hit the table as often as other games. But we really like to play that game.
Saul has an idea that me and Kathy can't play a game more than an hour and a half.
No. You don't want to play a game that's...
Or we start to get grumpy.
Or tired.
Or hungry. You know, those different things.
Yeah, so KublaCon is one of our favorite conventions. I mean, they're all our favorite convention, really. Or else we wouldn't go, right?
I don't know if we can say we have a favorite convention, but KublaCon is definitely my favorite convention this weekend. I like all of the conventions that we go to.
Yeah, we pretty much like the ones we go to.
Of course, they're only like 45 minutes from our house, so
that makes it easy. Easier. Yes, yes. So we don't go to conventions outside our area, so maybe
one day he keeps telling me he wants to go to Gen Con, and I can tell him that's way too many people.
Yeah, I'm kind of being not sold on Gen Con anymore because. I don't know. They say it's not a good gaming convention. It's more of an event.
A networking convention.
Yeah, there's people who go to conventions, and that one's just huge, right?
We are sitting directly in front of a people that are playing a game called Wizard's Bluff.
That's Wizards with a Z at the end.
That's Wizards with a Z at the end, Bluff. And it looks like a Kickstarter game. They have a little post, and it has a little sign, kind of like a Western sign. And they have a wizard hat on top of it also. And so if you hear a ding, that's what it is.
And they all say, bring out your dead.
Bring out your dead?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know we were raising the dead today.
Oh, not bring out your dead, not raising the dead.
Oh, bring out your dead.
You know, I think like Monty Python, bring out your dead thing.
Bring out your dead. I must have missed that. Or
really?
I let it go over my head because I didn't want to deal with it.
Good. I can't believe you don't remember that part of the movie. A Monty Python's Holy Grail, I believe.
I may have fallen asleep. During that movie.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So another game we played was John Carter of Mars.
Yes, and we did a podcast on that too.
Yes.
About how it came out by Modiphius.
Yes, it was published last year, but we finally got around to playing it.
My brother-in-law sent me
A picture
of his, because he got all the Kickstarter, he went all in for it. So I was a little jealous of all the stuff that he got. So I was like, I could have done that, but you don't let me do Kickstarters.
Well, you know, I probably would have just gotten the book and not gone with the all-in like my brother does.
Because he thinks he can get away with $50 and I won't notice it.
$50 or $60, yes. It's a, well, and the all-in was probably about, I don't know what it is. I'm guessing it's about $120, $140, $50. And they do give you a lot of stuff, but, you know, is it necessary for to run the game? Probably not. And space is limited, right?
Considering that we ran the game, or you ran the game with a printout and
yes.
a PDF. And did a play test for it so that you could, to review it.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it played pretty well. You guys took to it pretty well. You guys, the people that we played with Jolene, our son, and three of our friends.
I am Jolene, just so you know that.
Did I say Jolene like I didn't know who you were?
Like I wasn't actually here
next to you. Stranger called Jolene. Anyway, so yeah, and it was pretty well received by the players. They really liked it and actually wanted to keep playing, believe it or not.
Yes.
So another game to put on the list of waiting to play, I guess.
There's lots of games on that list.
RPGs we're talking about.
Yes.
So we're in front of the Open Gaming next to the Sequoia Room, which is, I think, Organized Play is playing behind us, right?
Yes, it looks like Pathfinder on this side.
Yeah,
and I think that
Adventures League is on the other.
Adventures League is on the other side.
Yeah, and we talked to people who were running the Pathfinder Organized Play event, Wendy and John, I believe.
Yes.
Wendy and John. Yes, and actually, I saw John. He's running or playtesting, or I don't know what you'd call it, but he's running the new Pathfinder Adventure card game. I guess they're coming out with a new edition than the old edition, and supposedly it makes it easier to play, plays faster.
Yes, they told us about that.
Right.
And I think this is the weekend that it's coming out, and they got sent copies by Paizo,
who puts Pathfinder. And Pathfinder, well, Paizo also has PaizoCon, which takes place
this weekend.
Memorial Day weekend, yes.
But where is it?
It's in Seattle, Washington.
Seattle, yes.
I do. It's in Seattle, Washington, where the headquarters is. And what's weird about that is they used to have it on a different weekend. And then what happened was, so the people who run Pathfinder here, they would all migrate or do the trek to Seattle, Washington, and go to PaizoCon because it's all Pathfinder. You know, it's a convention. It's PaizoCon, so it's all about Paizo games. And then they wanted to, well, you know, we really should have a 3-day weekend con or a 4-day weekend con, theoretically. And so they moved it to Memorial Day, and unfortunately John and Wendy are in charge here and couldn't go. So, but
it's because they have, I forget how many people Wendy said play here.
Over 100.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's more like probably, 200.
Yeah, I think they have over 100 games.
Yeah, there's lots of games.
And there's
if you consider that it's probably four to six people per table. Game. Yeah.
Yep. That's a lot of people.
That's not including the person running the game.
Yeah, there's a GM too. Somewhere in there's the GM. Anyway, so yeah, that proves to be pretty popular at conventions because they run special events. We talked about that when we interviewed Wendy and John. And one of the things that they really like to run is these big games, right? They have like like 30-player games that take place over the weekend or and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. We were in a room last year with one of those huge games going on. Jolene acquired a cold, sadly, right before our Kubla experience.
It always happens, sooner or later. Yes, we were playing Starfinder.
Starfinder, yes.
And that was really cool. Yeah. I was really tired, but it was really cool. And I really enjoyed it up until the space battle. And then all the guys were absolutely in love with it because you had to figure out which way your ship was pointing. And then they got out, like, they did the math and all kinds of things. And I'm
man,
like, how
horrible. Well, it is Pathfinder, sort of, Starfinder. And so, yeah, what it does, it breaks down into kind of like a little mini game inside the RPG.
A mini miniature game, because even though there weren't any miniatures.
Well, yeah, we use a...
They use their minds, and then they figured out which way they were going.
I thought that we were actually playing on a grid or something.
Oh, maybe they were.
Yeah.
It was where you were going, which way your ship was facing.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Who you could shoot, all that kind of stuff.
It was kind of interesting, because I think you plan 3 moves ahead.
Yeah, and then
hopefully you end up where you want.
that's when I decided that I didn't want to run that game because I didn't want to learn all those rules.
Well, you could just, I would just bypass that if I was running any kind of Starfinder and just run with the...
Make the combat kind of like just regular combat?
Well, we're talking about space combat, yeah. I'd just ignore space combat and just say, oh yeah, you get from here to there. There's no space combat.
But that's the whole part about being a Starfinder. Well, you're in a ship.
There's the whole space opera aspect of it.
I think space opera means all space games, right?
No, there's actually a game called Space Opera.
I know, but they say space opera and they talk
it's
about
a genre, yes,
it's a genre.
Yes, yes. So we got here about what? 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock.
And it's already pretty busy. A lot of people are here. Well, there's still some empty tables, though.
It seems really busy for Friday afternoon. It's not very late yet. It's like 2 o'clock.
No, you're right. It's, a little bit around 2:30. It is 2:30, exactly. There you go. There's a lot of people playing games. You know, a lot of games have already started that are in a program. I think the earliest game today was 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, there were some games last night, too. Unfortunately, we couldn't come last night because our son had a Spanish presentation in his Spanish class this morning. So, and it's really hard when once your kids get into high school. I'm sure a lot of you already know this, but they frown upon you taking your children out of school. We do it anyway, but... they get absences and they don't want to excuse them because you just went out of town and it wasn't something important.
No, nothing important. Some teachers make it easy for you and some don't. Luckily, it was his first period class, so we were able to take him out early.
So he was in and out in no time. So I told people that they could come by and talk to us. And so we are sitting here talking to you. Like we always do, but we're kind of waiting for...
Well, they said some staff people were going to be sent over, but maybe not. Technical difficulties.
Sorry, Saul made me pause it for a second because he was looking for something and I couldn't figure out what it was. That's the problem with doing a live thing for us because he doesn't like to edit stuff and I don't know what he's doing.
Well, it's very hard to edit sometimes, yes. So we were talking about KublaCon. I think KublaCon started around 2001,
yes, that
and,
was the first
time. And I was
able at the, it was in Oakland at a Hyatt. No, it was at a
Oakland Hyatt. I think it is.
Yeah, right off of Hagenberger.
Hagenberger Road. Yeah. So what was interesting about that place? It was an older place, older hotel.
And if you haven't been to Oakland, Hagenberger is part of the industrial area. but it's like it's a very interesting town.
Well, I think it's supposedly like really close to the Oakland Airport.
Yes.
Which I don't even know where the Oakland Airport is.
I don't either because I've never flown out of the Oakland Airport. I have gone to Hagenberger to pick up parts for
my
brother-in-law
because
when I worked at the machine shop. But so that was an interesting convention. Not only that, but that was the first time that Ian had just been born.
Yeah, Ian was a baby.
And so we to save money, we stayed in a room with Stephen, Kathy, and Ian.
Wow.
All five of us. It was very interesting.
I don't remember that.
You probably blocked it out of your memory.
He's still ignoring us. Well, he goes to the woman, of course. The guy, and turns his back to us.
He doesn't want to be interviewed.
Kevin. Oh, there he is. He tried to ignore us, but I yelled at him.
How
so we're doing
you?
A live podcast. We're doing a live recording of our podcast. You want to sit down and have a few words?
He's in the middle of the game.
Oh, no, you're not. Oh, he has one of those lifetime badges. Look at that.
My retirement.
Yes, yes. So KublaCon a few years ago had this lifetime badge that you could purchase. And basically, I forget what it was, like $500,
$600.
And you could buy it and you would never have to pay to come to the con again. I mean, you still have to pay for the hotel room.
You paid $600.
Yeah. So I actually toyed with the idea of buying Augustine one when he was a baby. Because then it would be worth it.
We should have, because he's 15 now. He's been to every con since he's been alive.
And we paid for everyone, didn't we? Well, maybe
not when
he was a baby.
Not when he was a baby.
But when he was like...
You don't play games when you're a baby.
Yeah, but I think when he started becoming, what, 5 and 6 is when we start paying for his badge?
Sometime in there.
Yeah. So, you know, already...
They have a kid's price.
So let's say 10 bucks to 10 years that we've been paying for him. And that's $500 right there. So almost. So if he kept coming to conventions till he was about 25, he definitely make his money, start making his money back, or our money back. But anyway, so what happened was they were really popular and they stopped selling them.
Yes, they stopped selling them.
So no longer can you buy
them. Once we could have actually afforded to buy them, then they stopped selling them.
I think they went up.
We could afford to buy
them. They went up to like $800.
Oh, maybe we couldn't afford to buy them.
But you know, there's still, you know, there's perks that you get, like, you know, the flea market. You get in
early.
A little early onto the flea market, and you're able to, which is a big deal to some gamers, almost all gamers.
Yes.
Because you get to go into the flea market early. And
which
like
you get to look at the stuff before the rabble come along.
Oh, yeah. And it's the hordes. I mean, because like literally it takes place kind of right in front of where we're at. And the line just goes for like 200 to 300 people deep before they even let them in because, you know, they have people setting up and stuff. And and that's when the people with the special badge can get in.
So if you've never been to this hotel, it's the Hyatt in
Burlingame.
Right next to the San Francisco airport, and it's a really cool hotel. In the middle of it is an atrium. It's a little bit different. They used to have a waterfall, but they redid stuff. But literally, if you have an inside room, you can look out your window, which the doors don't open anymore. They used to when Augustine was little, but I think something happened and they stopped letting them be open.
Yeah, that's
sad. But you can look down and you can see this line of people at like, what time do they start? Like 11 o'clock at
midnight.
And they're like,
maybe 11.
Crazy. They're all in line to buy other people's stuff because it's a flea market, so it's obviously used stuff. And so some gamers come to sell their stuff, and some gamers come to buy stuff.
Yep. It's a good idea. I mean, one, you know, you don't have to deal with eBay. You don't have to ship anything. And you can do whatever you want. Sell whatever you want. Well, anything that's gamer-related. And you can get some pretty good deals, especially when people get desperate toward the end.
So what happens is you can only have so many games in your house, and Saul says until your wife tells you that you can't have anymore.
He just
moves stuff in the closet and makes new room to put them without letting me know.
I keep moving her stuff out into the garage. That's the gamer secret right there, bro.
No.
Anyway, so instead of doing that, you could sell some of the older games that nobody plays, or maybe you played the heck out of it already. And, you know, and if you could sell it to somebody cheaper and make a little bit of money back, or make a little bit of money.
I don't think you're actually going to make any money back. You're just going to get $5 or $10.
Well, if you play the game enough that you got your money's worth out of it, then you are going to be making a little bit of money off of it.
I will. What is it about?
It's about gaming. It's a weekly podcast about role-playing games mainly, but okay. We play about anything about gaming.
All kinds of different things.
Yes.
I don't have my podcast. We do D&D. We've been doing it for about 5 years.
Want to sit down?
Want to sit down and talk to us?
Not yet.
Okay.
I had a couple beers. So.
That's cool. That's even better.
Yeah, no, but we...
So what's it called?
Wait. The game or the podcast?
The podcast.
Plus one hijinks.
Plus one hijinks.
Two hijinks.
Two
plus
hijinks.
Plus one, two hijinks.
Plus one, two hijinks.
And it's a beer and pretzels D&D game that we've been playing for 4.5 years now.
Wow.
And... we're actually wrapping it up for Princess of the Apocalypse.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. So,
the 5th edition D&D.
Lots of fun. Yeah.
Cool. Well, come back and talk to us.
I will check you guys out.
All right.
Well, I will be back.
Okay, good. So that was
like I said, Saul isn't going to edit everything. So if you can't hear that, that was a guy that stopped by and has his own podcast about, I don't know what it's called.
It's a plus one to hijinks, he said. And it's a D&D 5th edition actual podcast.
Cool.
And yeah, I guess they were running a campaign called... Princes of Apocalypse, which is a published setting by D&D 5th edition. I think we bought it for Augustine to run for us.
Yes, we did.
Okay. Well, we haven't played it yet. Augustine, our son, who's 15, he tried running a game a long time ago when 5th edition sort of started, came out, and we bought...
Unfortunately, it was right when the first... what was it? Timon?
Horde of the Dragon Queen.
Came out, and it wasn't written as clearly and as well. You had to really... look at it, people kept saying that.
Yes.
And so Augustine tried, but he was only like 11, 10
yes.
or 11, so
yes.
He had a really hard time with it.
So what happened was, I don't know if you heard this, but Horde of the Dragon Queen was a adventure or campaign that came out and was being written as 5th edition was still being, the rules were still being ironed out. So there's some things in that, well, at least I don't know if they've updated it, but in that first edition or the first publishing of the printing of Horde of the Dragon Queen, they alluded to some rules that weren't actually in 5th edition, or they didn't quite agree exactly on certain things, so it was problematic, so you had to actually read the whole thing, make sure it gelled well with their 5th edition rules, and when you're 11 years old and your first time running the game, it was a little bit too much for my son. But now he wants to try it again and run an adventure.
And now he knows all the rules for 5th edition, so he shouldn't have any problem with that.
Yes. And now the actual campaign is has the real rules attached to it. So Jaleesa's still coughing. I got into a couple games this weekend. Well, going to get into a couple games. I have a game tonight run by Gil Trevisio, who's very popular in the Bay Area.
It's all gaming circles.
Yeah, and not my gaming circles, but a lot of gaming circles. And he runs really neat, immersive games. He likes the run-roll engine, which powers, I can't think of him much right now, but he's going to run an adaptation of a one-roll engine, and he's going to run a Game of Thrones game. So he ran, what is it? Shoot.
Which is very odd, because Saul has refused to read any more Game of Thrones books until George R. R. Martin finishes writing them, so I'm not sure why he's going to a Game of Thrones role-playing game.
Okay, well, there's two things about that statement. It's true. I'm refusing to read any more books, mainly because the last book that I read, which was the fourth book before the dragon one, was, to me, complete crap, right?
Oh my god, I got him started. Sorry. Because
he got started. So I think what happened was is that I read the second book, and at the end of the second book, he basically said, well, the third book is coming along really good, but basically I have too much information. So it's really going to be, you know, instead of having a 15,000-page book, I'm going to cut it into two books, and at least that's what my publisher wants. So I go, cool, so this next book is going to come out really soon.
I don't think you meant 15,000 pages. I think you meant 1,500
pages. Oh, did I say 1,500 pages? So to make it more manageable, you cut the book in half. And there's a funny guy with a hat. Come here. Go ahead. Sit down there.
Yeah. You can tell us about your...
Yeah, why are you wearing a funny hat?
This is a wizard's hat.
Well, okay. It's a wizard's hat.
Yeah,
and we see a billboard over there that says...
Yeah, so my name is Ron Smith. I'm one of the creators of a game called Wizard's Bluff.
Cool.
And so my brother and I created the game, and we're showing it here at KublaCon. We got our wizard's hats on, and we're going to be launching on Kickstarter at the end of the summer.
Wow. Yep. So what's Wizard's Bluff about?
Wizard's Bluff is essentially a trick-taking game, and you're going to be managing your hand of cards. And what it is that you are in a big, epic wizard battle between up to four and sometimes five players.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And the objective is to transform into different animals and try to outsmart your opponent by being more witty and wise than the other opponent.
So there's trick-taking, so there's a lot of cards involved. Or it's a card game.
Yeah, and you have different spells, and the objective is to try to capture the spell stones, which is kind of like wizard currency.
Okay.
So for example, if I transform into a chicken, and you transform into a fox, the fox is going to beat the rooster.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So how long are you going to be doing the thing here at KublaCon? All weekend?
Yeah, we're going to be here all the way to the end.
And then you have a Kickstarter coming up at the end of the summer.
End of summer, yeah. We're going to go to Gen Con over in Indianapolis.
Wow.
And then right around there, we're going to launch on Kickstarter. Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Well, thank you a lot.
Thanks. Take a card. Yeah. We have a podcast, obviously.
One of our friends is up there playing.
Yeah. Yes. So for all you listening, it's Wizards Bluff with a Z. So it's Wizards with a Z. So it's wizardsbluff.com. You can find us on Facebook, and there's a YouTube how-to play video.
Cool.
So all the info
Thanks for coming and talking to us.
Well, it was great talking to you. Bye-bye now.
Bye. So we were talking about Wizard's Bluff here, because we can see the little sign that they have up, and now we know what it's about.
And it's with a Z at the end, so you know. Wizardsbluff.com.
There you go. So we were talking about George R. R. Martin. And so what happened was he puts out this is in the foreword of the book, or introduction, where he says that this third book is going to come right out because it's basically written. And it took them 5 years to publish the next book. And it's only half the book, right? So how long did it take them to publish the next book? It was like 3 to 4 more years. A book that was practically written.
I'm so sorry I started this conversation.
And then the fourth book was all about characters that I could care less about, basically. I know Jolene's like rolling her eyes. I know you can't see it, but you can almost hear it.
I am rolling my eyes because every time this comes up, he goes on and on.
Yes, and then so, but I gotta admit, when I haven't seen the HBO show Game of Thrones, of course.
It's because my mother and my son are.
Well, yes, because it started when my son was a baby,
young,
and I didn't want to watch it while he was around the house, but I one night they had a free HBO weekend. It was very late, and I watched the first episode of it, and it was fantastic. I thought it was really good, really right out of the book, and it was really neatly well done. Oh, I mean, neatly well. It was really well done, and so I really liked it. Except, you know, I don't have HBO, and never decided to get it. But maybe now I'll buy the DVDs now it's over. I could binge watch the heck out of it.
Or you can get the HBO Go app and
oh, somebody was telling me that. But then I would have to...
And now Augustine's old enough to watch it. Although my mom is too old to watch it. Yes. She doesn't like things like that, so...
Yes. You want to give her a heart attack.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. These guys have came up with the game. They're running at the local conventions here. I don't know if they're from here, but KubaCon is one good place to test out your game or advertise it. And then
they have a proto spiel. Sorry, yes. That's a hard word to spit out sometimes.
Proto spiel, yes.
These guys aren't actually, I don't know if they're in the proto spiel or not, but they have their own little cool little sign and everything. Yeah. So.
And they're wearing these wizard's hats.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And they have a wizard, and they have t-shirts even.
Yeah.
Wow, they're really going on out. And as you've heard, they're going to have a Kickstarter at the end of summer. So good luck to them. And hopefully it'll be successful. Kickstarter.
And Saul tells me most Kickstarters are, so.
Actually, most Kickstarters are not.
Oh.
Yes.
So it's only the ones he wants to put money into that he knows are.
Well, I try to go after, you know, surefire things. So Jolene doesn't get mad at me that nothing ever got here.
There's a story. I don't know when we did our Kickstarter episode if we told the story of our friend Steve. He went into the Conan Kickstarter.
The board game.
And
that is a huge board game.
It was like $150.
They call it the King Conan.
Whatever
edition.
He did. Yes. But when it finally came out and they were going to ship it, they told him he had to pay, $60 or $90?
I think it was $60 of shipping.
Because it was coming from England. Yes. And he refused to pay the $60, so he still doesn't have the game.
Which is hilarious because he already paid $150 for the game. So it's like, I don't get it. But there you go.
So like I say, Kickstarters are very cool.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, I don't know, it was a different company. Modiphius has this great sale sometimes on their printed books. So they have this game called Mutant Chronicles. And Mutant Chronicles is an old game, but they have new rules for it, and they use the 2D20 system, which I really like. Anyway, so they had everything in print sale. And everything in print sale, I was like, wow. And it was like, of course, everything's in pounds, so like you got to figure out what it is in dollars. But you have to, luckily, just click on it,
it'll convert it to dollars.
And I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of money. And so it was like $150, $160, maybe $140.
Did you buy it?
No, I didn't, obviously not. So I was going to buy it, and I'm like, oh, that's a great deal, because it comes with like the hardback editions of all the books, and they have a ton of books for that game. It's like 10 or 15 books, and it really basically comes out to like $10 a book. But then the shipping was really scary because there's books.
That's
they weigh
really
about
heavy.
15 pounds, so it would have costed 60 pounds to ship it, which
is like $80.
Yes, so I decided not to go for it because then I would have been spending way too much money. But then I kind of wish I would have kickstarted that one too, but I didn't know about that one. I didn't know about Conan the role-playing game, and I got that book, and I got a couple of goodies for that, but I didn't.
That's the good thing about Kickstarter, though. So I can buy just the book, and he doesn't have to put in the whole $150.
Yes.
So I don't have to yell at him about spending.
Not as loudly. But yeah, the Kickstarter can be a pain, but when you're trying to pay the bill.
Especially if your wife looks at your American Express card every month to pay the bill.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, if only they took PayPal. So what else have we been playing lately? There was this game that I got for my birthday last year. Was it the year before that?
A couple years ago, probably.
Was it 2 years ago? Oh, my God, that's terrible. You're right, because it was 2 years ago, because I didn't have a birthday party. We had a Clue Owl, so it was a live-action Clue game. Yeah, we go big on games on birthdays, except for Jolene. She doesn't like her birthday being celebrated. But I go all out. Anyway, so what happened was... my friend Shannon gave me this game that he really liked.
Called Thebes?
Thebes, right.
The funny thing is that Shannon was just recently at our house, and he said, oh, let's pull out Thebes. I know you have it because I gave it to Saul for his birthday. And I go, I remember seeing that game. I'm pretty sure I know where it is. I found it in Augustine's closet. It hadn't been opened yet.
It was still in shrink wrap, and so, like, I don't know. Because I don't know,
yes,
where I was.
Shannon helped me open it and punch out all the things and make Kathy.
But I had to go somewhere, didn't I?
You went to pick up Augustine.
Okay, that's what happened. Because I had to go pick up Augustine. And I'm like, and he goes, and I came back, and they're like, the Thieves was ready to set up to go. And I'm like, I felt kind of funny and guilty because I hadn't busted this game out. And my friend Shannon, who bought it, is actually opening it up and punching out the game. That was hilarious.
You should have felt guilty.
But you know what it is?
I'm just glad I found it.
It's pulling teeth trying to get some of my friends here to play games. And Jolene's kind of one of them. Because she doesn't trust us to...
Okay. This is not true. The truth is that it depends on who we're playing with. And when you have to learn a new game, which Saul and my friend Kathy love to learn new games, but Kathy's husband Steve likes the rules to be consistent. And the last new game we learned, we had to stop playing it because he couldn't handle it. So...
Well, there was a disagreement on exactly what certain part of the rule
and
was.
We even watched a video on YouTube, and that's what we figured out how to do, is watch videos on stuff. But that doesn't mean everybody's going to agree upon the rules. And unless you have somebody who's actually played the game before, it's a little bit hard sometimes.
Yeah,
and you have really stubborn people in your
life. That was kind of weird, because I think at one point we had, at the end of the last game, we had agreed that this is the way it was going to work. And I guess Steve either had forgotten or really hadn't chipped in. His mind never had been changed. Imagine
his mind
that.
Had never been changed.
His mind has never been, yeah. Imagine that, a stubborn gamer. So basically the first turn, because he was the first player,
yes,
he tried to do something. We're like, oh no, you can't do that. He goes, why? Well, it's the same thing as this. It evolved into...
Into Julian saying, okay, we're not going to play this game now because I don't want another glasses throwing into the middle of the table incident.
I think it's not even our game, huh?
No, that was Kathy's game.
Yes. And she's going to say, oh, that's going to go to the sale pile.
She's probably going to sell it here at KubaCon during the auction. She likes to do that.
I might go buy it.
She goes and she... No.
For a dollar.
She goes and she goes to all kinds of like thrift stores and flea markets and
garage sales. She's a garage sale.
And she finds all kinds of games, and a lot of them, people don't realize how much their stuff they have is actually worth. I mean, and some of them is worth the crap, but she's found all kinds of stuff, and she's made like $200 or $300 every year at KubaCon by going to the auction and selling stuff. Because every once in a while she'll find something cool, like a Star Trek thing that people really, really want.
Jolene said, you know, somebody bought a game for their kid, and that kid grows up and never played it. It's never been played, and it's probably like a classic or something, or a really sought-after game. It might even been an out-of-print game. I think that happened a couple of times where she bought this game, and I don't even know where she bought it. When did you get that game?
Well, going to flea markets, especially at gaming stores, is really good. In fact, recently I went to the flea market at, Game Castle in Mountain View? And I got two really cool games. I got the Conan game that Steve never got because he wouldn't pay the shipping for it for like $40. And I got this, it was the other one that Felipe likes with the little...
Space Hulk
for what, $20?
$20.
And I just saw it on the table. I go, oh, Saul, go ask that guy, because I can't ask him, because if I ask him, the price goes up.
I don't know about that. I think maybe at a regular flea market.
At a regular flea market.
Garage sale.
But it's always easier to send Saul to ask people how much something is, because they, I don't know.
Because I look poor, I guess.
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think he's just more, you know.
I don't know.
They're willing to give him a better price.
But I was shocked, because like, you know, I didn't really want Space Hulk. You know, it's a big box game. And it sold for like $110, $150 or something like that when it first came out. And then they had limited, you know, they only made so many of them. But it didn't really catch on anymore. And people were, this guy goes, have you played it? He goes, yeah, I played it once. And I'm like, oh, because the box looked brand new.
Brand new.
And I'm like, oh, so he wants like $50 for it. I'm like, oh, so how much you want for Space Hulk? He said $20. I'm like, are you serious? $20? Oh, yeah, for $20, I'll take it.
So I took a picture of it and texted it to my brother-in-law, who went, what?
Yeah, he was kind of jelly about that one. And then did you post a picture about Conan, too?
Yes, of course I did.
Yeah.
He posted the John Carter of Mars stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's how we got that back. Yeah, throwing that in our face. But, yeah, that's definitely going to be in a buy in a bike column. I might buy it here. I don't know if they have it around.
I don't know. Is it out now?
Yeah, it's out. It's out. Published, I'm sure.
If you read John Carter of Mars, well, either you're older or...
There's some kids that read John Carter.
Well, now that the movie came out.
Yes.
According to my son, the movie... not my son. Steve says... Was it Steve that said that, or Felipe that said the movie wasn't as good as the books? But the
that was
movie
Steve.
Never is as good as the books.
Yes, that was Steve. I think Felipe, my brother, who really likes John Carter of Mars and always... Forever since I was a kid, was
that they change stuff?
They have to.
How people are. Well, you gotta change stuff for the movies.
Let's not start talking about Lord of the Rings, right?
Oh, no, let's not. Don't get him started.
So just like Lord of the Rings, you know, it's a well loved series of books, and I think people either they liked what Peter Jackson did with the story or they didn't like it. Now I think most people think that what he did with The Hobbit was terrible. By making one little book into three movies, but for me, I don't know if you can hear that, but they ring a little bell and they bring out your dad at the Wizard's Bluff table, and Jillian just laughs at it because it's kind of funny. So what was I talking about? Peter Jackson. So Peter Jackson's, I really liked what he did with the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and sure, I thought he might have gone a little bit overboard with The Hobbit, but. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
I'm shaking my head at him going, I don't think he did that bad with The Hobbit. I thought it was pretty cool. And it's a movie, so it's
exactly.
It's not, you know, you read the book, it's one thing, it's a movie, it's different. So
right. You know. And so some people say, well, it didn't stick to canon, and he extrapolated quite a bit and totally made stuff up, supposedly. And sure, you know, but the thing is that you have this huge franchise that you want to make as much money as possible, and if you make three movies and sell tickets to three movies, you probably make more money than if you just make one movie, right? So I understand the logistics of that. And there's a series coming out. What about that?
A series?
Lord of the Rings, yes.
I didn't know that.
Middle Earth. What? Yeah, Amazon paid $1 billion.
Really?
Yes.
$1 billion?
$1 billion.
$1 billion?
For a series.
That's a million with an extra zero.
I think actually it was 750 million.
More than an extra zero.
It's a 750 million, but people just rounded up to $1 billion.
It's a lot to round up.
Yeah, well. And then who knows? Because they've been teasing, right? I don't know if anybody knows this, but they teased on I don't know what it's called, Lord of the Rings, MiddleEarth.com or whatever, at Amazon.com, whatever. But they put out a map. Like an old map that was probably made by J.R.R. Tolkien himself, and it has they just put out the map and took a picture of it and posted it on Facebook and their social medias, and people were going nuts about it. Like, oh my God, you see what was on the picture? What was on the map? There's a little bit of extra that's not normally seen on the normal maps. I think the area of it starts with an H. I'm not a Middle Earth aficionado. But you know the people with the elephants, those people, I forget where they're called, but the map shows their country and where they're from, and shows a little bit more of Middle Earth than previous maps published. So people were going wild about what the story is about, and some of the names on the map were like, oh, that means something, right? Because they're trying to figure out what age it was taking place. So there's quite a bit of a consternation about that stuff. So Jolie's looking at me like,
sure,
I'm
not sure what to do with that.
Is it true? Look it up. Look it up, people.
I believe you. I think that's pretty cool. And it's not elephants, it's oilyphants.
Oilyphants, yes. Yes.
Sorry.
Actually, yes. She actually. She woman-splained it to me. Got it. So, I said giant elephants or something like that, didn't I? Yeah, it's kind of the same thing.
Anyway.
Oh, I don't know where I was talking about that. Anyway, Peter Jackson.
He might have to edit this since he's totally lost his train of thought.
It's stream of consciousness today. I was talking about adding stuff to the story and then to the movie. And actually, I was just, some guy had passed by before we started recording and was asking me about a game. I ran a a Tecmo game using Tecmo, basically Lord of the Rings, Empire of the Pedal Throne. It's an old game. It was the first setting by TSR, because they used the D&D original D&D rules. And this was a published setting called Empire Pedal Throne, and it's by this guy called M.A.R.R. Barker. Oop, I might have added a letter in there, but anyway, Philip Barker was his name. I think he converted to Muslimism or whatever.
I'm really sorry, that's not a word.
He converted to Islam.
Thank you. And added
his name, and then anyway, but he had this idea since he was a kid, and he developed this story, this world basically. And then when he became a doctor of Asian studies or Indian studies, you know, that kind of that area of the world, and you know,
it is a very Indian-ish game. Right?
Yes.
India.
From India, yes. Not Indian as a Native American. But anyway, so it's a science fiction game or setting that takes, instead of a Western way into the stars, it takes an Eastern slant. So a lot of the cultures have this flavor of Eastern flavor to their cultures. And it's been around forever, obviously, since I think 75 or 76 was when Empire Pedal Throne was published. It's had a couple different rules over the years. And Bethorm is the last rule set that they came out with. And that was published by Jeff D. The only reason I even bring this up is because we're talking about canon, a little bit about Game of Thrones / Middle Earth. So Jeff D's girlfriend / partner put out a Facebook post about how she likes, she ran a game that was total non-canon, right? Meaning it didn't follow the maker's idea of what Tecmo is. And she liked the idea, you know, she didn't go like way off base, but she was able to do things. And basically, she made Tecmo her own, right? Kind of like that. There's the adage is that some people say that when you buy a published setting or something, that once you buy it, you can do anything with it and run with it.
We just talked about that in our last episode that we did. I don't know if it's published yet, but we were talking about Rule Zero from...
Yeah. Well, that's to do with character creation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Establishing the rules of the game. Yeah. You are correct. So, that's true. So, I think, like most people would say that, yeah, you want to put that out in front before you start playing if you're going to change the...
Are you guys doing your podcast right now?
Yes. Can I have a seat?
Would you like to talk to us?
Exhibitor. We have an exhibitor talking to us. Yes, this is.
I'm going to do a podcast.
You're going to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Cast those
bathroom.
Pods. Cast
I'm
them everywhere.
Bathroom,
and they figured it out. They know how spitty you can be.
That's just a pop filter. So
she'll
that's
be right back.
So she's an exhibitor. That means that she has a booth somewhere in the merchant room.
He knows this because everybody has a badge on. And
yes.
Our badge says press on
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes.
And, which is kind of freaky to me, but there you go.
Yeah, it's huge. It's not like a regular badge that you wear on your neck. It has another...
For those of you who don't know me, I'm very not...
You have a podcast, honey.
I get freaked out when people know my name and stuff.
Oh, how terrible.
So, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know about that idea, but there you go. So we were talking about... Oh, canon. So she was talking about how liberating it was for her to run a game that where she kind of... went away from what is canon, and I think that's, you know, that's a good thing. I think people who are really like, what is it, adhering to what is known about the world or the universe. Let's say Star Trek, because I run a lot of Star Trek games at conventions. In fact, I'm running one here in the teen room on Sunday night. Anyway, and so my Star Trek knowledge is not as extensive as a lot of people's or fans of Star Trek. So I might make a mistake, and I tell people, you know, this is my Star Trek universe. I try to be as canonical, I don't know how to say that word.
He tries to stick to the real story as often as possible.
and sometimes it's difficult, right? It's difficult to remember everything that happens or make everything make sense. So when and I tell you, if you see an incongruency with what I say to what happened in the actual, you know, books or TV shows or movies, then just think it's an alternate reality.
Alternate
or universe.
Universe.
There you go, alternate universe.
Or an alternate timeline.
There you go. So I think, so...
Saul hates those shows with alternate timelines or time loops or anything like that. They drive him nuts. I, on the other hand,
she
love them.
She loves them. Ah, yes. Like, you know, like, I did like the one where they did on, talking about Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, where they went back and they had a triple once. Is that Deep Space Nine?
Yes. That was a very good episode. I don't know the names of the episodes. I probably should. But I've watched all of them several
A couple times.
Times.
We have a lot of people who are really fanatical about games or about Star Trek or fan. But when I tell them that, hey, I don't have an encyclopedia memory about Star Trek, they're pretty easygoing. And
most Star Trek fans are like that.
They just want to have fun and play, right?
Every once in a while, one of them will correct you, but that's only because they need you to know.
I'm totally way off, right? What do you mean Picard is younger than... Is younger than Kirk? Have it. It's a bookmark. We're seeing Candy is a board gamer, and you've made a board game, aren't you?
I actually just sold another one.
Well, want to say something to us real quick? Real quick?
She's in the middle of the game.
Basically. They're talking over there. They're not. They don't know where she's at. Yes.
We're playing double Terraforming Mars. Two boards.
It's pretty cool.
Oh my god.
It's crazy.
You're crazy. So we have that's what's taking place right next to us is a double board terraforming Mars.
Which I've never played, but I have a box that was sitting in my house. I finally made him bring it back to Bay.
Bay Chang, where are you? Paging Bay Chang. Yes, I've been meaning to take it to him, and I've met him a few times over. Well, we play role playing games quite a bit, and
once a month
I keep forgetting once every other month, and I keep forgetting to take him as Terraforming Mars. And Jolene, we're literally walking out the door, and she goes, "Did you get Bay's game?" I go, "Yes." So,
which meant no, he had to go back and find it.
I got it. I haven't gotten to him yet.
It's in the room.
Great. So yes. So I will give him the game sometime today. I think I was talking about canon, so I like people who go off canon a bit. Because it kind of makes it your own story. And as long as people are accepting of that kind of...
As long as they don't go too far off canon sometimes. Yeah. Then it's a different story, which is fine.
Yeah, I tried killing off Picard once and people really were hating on me.
He did not.
Well, I think I said Picard was a worse captain than Kirk.
Which is not true. He likes to tease me about Star Trek. But Picard...
Hey, he has a new show coming up.
Yes, he does.
I
don't think they actually have the name of it yet.
Picard, I think that's all it's called.
No, it's not.
Jean-Luc? Jean-Luc. No? I think it is. I think that's the name of it. I think...
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, because I saw it. They said there was...
Maybe The Return of Picard?
He's not returning.
How old is that guy? Can he even act anymore?
Yes, he can.
Anyway. So he's got to be, what, like 90-something years old?
No, he's not even close. I have no idea how old he is.
Well, because that show was, what, 40 years ago?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, well, 30 years ago.
24 years ago was the last episode, and they were on for 7
And
seasons.
He was like 50 when that was on, right?
I have a hard time telling
so
how 50s, old
So 50s, 24,
are.
Let's say he was 50s, he was 54.
So he's like 70s.
And, okay, so he's in his 70s. Oh my god, it's he, him. Sean Nittner.
What up, folks? How are you?
You gotta talk a little louder than that.
Oh, okay, yeah, I can do that, no problem.
So, Sean,
yes,
Big Bad
up.
Con is, like, funded,
Big Bad Con
beyond
is
funded.
Funded, and we've hit, like, 8 stretch goals, and there's maybe a handful left that I think we'll do.
Yeah,
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. So, for those of you who don't know, Sean Nittner puts on a podcast. He puts on a con.
I mean, not that I've done it in a long time.
He puts on a con called Big Bad Con here in the Bay Area.
Yes.
It's in Concord?
Walnut Creek.
Walnut Creek. I was close.
Yeah.
And... it's amazing, right? So I've been meaning to talk to you for a long time.
Shoot.
Because
me too.
Because you started just like a con. I mean, it wasn't special.
Yeah, what was special about it to me was that in the beginning,
yes,
it was that I had been going to cons for 10, 15 years, and I knew really good GMs,
right,
and I invited them all. So
right,
that was really what made it special to me, is that I tried to get a real fantastic caliber of
right
GM.
Right.
But like, other than that, yeah, it was just a role-playing con, a LARP con.
Right.
But yeah.
And it was, and it's a, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank.
No worries.
But it's a charity.
Post. Yes, it is a charity. Yeah.
You're not making money off
no,
it.
No, no. It's never
well,
been
what's a, wrong with you?
It's not, well, okay. So two things. One is, well, let's go back to my roots. Before Big Bad Con, there was Good Omens Con, which
oh,
we
yes.
ran for 7 years.
Yeah.
And that was always just to raise food for the Alameda County Food Bank, right?
Right.
So then I wanted to grow it, and I couldn't in that space. I couldn't grow it in Endgame. I couldn't grow it as part of Good Omens because there was too many heads of that Hydra. And I needed
yes.
to have a little more control.
Right.
And so then I wanted to go to the hotel, but that was going to cost a lot of money. And I was like, I need to be able to raise money because Good Omens Con was free. You just gave a food donation.
Right.
I was like, I need to be able to raise money to pay for it, but if there's excess money, what do I do with it? And so the answer was give it to Doctors Without Borders and Alameda County Community
Fantastic.
Bank. So yeah, we now, because we are now ourselves a charity, because we're flying people out, we're running educational panels, we are contributing to the net good now. We are keeping money in the bank, as it were,
right.
So that we can have a fund to go. But we still give to all those same places.
Right.
We still do fundraisers for them. And yeah, this year, sorry, I'm totally getting on hype mode. So I apologize. This
no.
year we had the Babylon Equity Project.
Yes.
In 2 days, we raised. This is really good radio. I'm holding up two fingers right now. In 2 days, we raised $26,000 to bring over 30 people of color out to the con, just to attend. Just to be
wow.
there, just to be part of the space.
So, I mean, it's kind of amazing, right? Because I've heard from other podcasts, from Southern California, from Midwest, that people go to your con, and they think it's one of the best role-playing conventions in the United States.
I mean, I might agree with that statement. But I think that the big draw is that, like you said in the beginning, it was just
yeah.
good games, right?
Right?
But it really shifted around year three. There's a whole story behind it. I've told it a bunch of times. If you want to, I can
sure.
retell it. Okay. So, Brianna Hitchcock, she is totally said this is fine to share. She shares it all the time. So, just sort of. So, Brianna Hitchcock, just before Big Bad Con, I think it was the third year, yeah, reached out to me and said, Sean, I want to come out presenting as female for the first time in public. And is it going to be safe for me to do that at Big Bad Con? And I said, well, I'm probably not the best person to ask. We have a lot of trans attendees. Why don't you ask some of them? You know, reach out
right.
to them and see, will you be welcome? Will you feel safe? And she did. And they said, yep, it's a good space. She came. Not only did she run a great Monster of the Week game, not only did she see a bunch of friends and connect with them, but also that was the year Big Bad GM was happening, and she was in that contest, and she won it. So it was like such a great experience for her. She came,
right.
she was very well welcomed, and she was the winner of this contest. Like, it was a really positive experience. And that, and she told me later, this was, if I hadn't been able to come out of Big Bad, I don't know that I would have, because I didn't have another community where I would have felt safe. And for me, that was a hugely transformative moment, because I thought, that
yeah.
was really good luck. That was like a knock on wood moment. I need to make sure the next time someone comes who is trans, who is queer, who is disabled, who is a person of color, who is any part of any marginalized group, that they also feel safe. And then it's not just good luck. And so we really shifted our focus to, we're going to make sure that this con is welcoming and inviting to everybody. Well, not everybody. Bigots and racists and homophobes, you are not welcome.
Wow. You're really good. You're really exiting a lot of people.
I mean,
I
will be honest. Yeah, no. Sometimes, in order to create an inclusive space, you have to curate it.
So has anything ever happened where you had to kick somebody out? I mean, I've contributed to your con the
yes,
last 3 years,
thank
and
you.
I actually
Saul
went to
amazing.
And I actually gone to the con once, but unfortunately, the con falls on my son's birthday.
I know.
And so
every year,
and he's resisting going to conventions, BB. Big Bad Con.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because he's just, you know, I don't know why. But anyway, so I haven't been able to go, but I still, you know, pay and contribute
best.
To you.
Saul makes it possible.
And
this guy, who you, again, really good radio, I'm pointing at Morgan Hua, who was one of the contributors to the Kickstarter video. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah, you're a star.
Yeah.
No, that was pretty cool. I really,
cool.
yeah,
Thank
really
you.
Neat.
I'm glad.
I'm just amazed yeah. at what you're able to do in the... In the short time that you've been running the convention.
Yeah, I think we were we're liberated in some way that the con really just started with the things that I love to do. So I didn't need a ton of experts to help me build a role-playing game track. And I didn't need a ton of extras to help me build a LARP track. If I had started Big Bad Con as role-playing games and board games and minis, right. I wouldn't have known what the heck I was doing, and I think it would have been very hard, much harder to shift and pivot as we needed. Because I walked in saying, like, this is my jam, this is what I do, this is what I love, I had a very good sense of what people wanted and what kind of games would be popular, and then as things changed, I could pivot that to accordingly. And so when we added on the panel track and the teen track and the board game track, that was done later incrementally when we had enough momentum and enough growth.
Enough interest, too.
Yeah, yes. Enough interest, exactly. So, and also I brought in experts, right? You know, I've got Ezra and Chanti, who are my board game coordinators, because they know, I mean, I like playing board games, but I don't know the scene as right?
Yeah, yeah.
This year, Ezra said, hey, you should really bring some board games, stretch goal guests. So, and he said, Bebo is fantastic. You know, she's running all kinds of family games. She's a Latinx queer gaming advocate. And I was like, yeah. Emailed her. 6 hours later, she was on the list. She was like, let's do it. Boom. So if you are thinking about this right now, chilling again, and you want to, the Kickstarter runs through June 6th. And if you help out, and if we hit $34,500, which we're super close to, we're like 1,500 away, Bebo will be coming out to Big Bad.
Cool.
So pretty cool.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's amazing. No, I really, you know, I really want to go, and I've gone, like, I've gone a couple of times. One just on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I Ezra ran a paranoia game.
Yes.
Which is freaking hilarious and phenomenal. Yeah. And all the games I've played there, I've just had a lot of fun. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's a good time.
And you changed the venue. It was in Oakland.
It was in Oakland.
Now it's in
They bolted the beds to the floor, folks. Bolted them. You know, a big part of making a good role-playing game experience is having a private room.
Oh,
it
yes.
allows you to change the lighting. It allows you to change the music. You don't to play music if you want. It allows you to put something on the TV if you want. It, most importantly, it blocks out the noise of your Ezra's paranoia game, right? And in the Hilton, they bolted the beds to the floor, and so we couldn't pull the beds out anymore and put private game rooms, private game rooms. And you know, and they had just never, it had always been like pulling teeth to get them to do it. And the Marriott has just been like,
yes, what can we do? Yeah.
What else would you like? Yes, sure. Wow. Let's do that too. They've been amazing. They've been so good. It's a nicer space.
It's a nice looking hotel from the pictures.
It is.
Yes, because
I should come. Salt. Yeah. Just come.
I might go one day and take Jolene with me. To hell with the kid.
I know. I'm saying a birthday only has to be a day. It doesn't have to be old. Come on.
And he's old enough to be. He can be left alone.
Exactly.
Free range.
Hanging with his friends.
I don't know. He's turning 16 this year, so we'll have to see.
We might have to take him. We'll just, you know, put
it. You know, we both have 16-year-olds. Just
really?
Saying, yes.
I didn't know your daughter was 16.
Yeah, they.
Oh my God. What's really amazing about your daughter is that, well, at least one of them, I think both of them went to a dual immersion.
Yeah, they went to a Spanish immersion.
Yeah,
school.
Spanish immersion. And so I just think it's hilarious and wonderful to see these blonde little girls just speaking Spanish like there's no tomorrow.
I know. Well, yes, I agree. Point of clarification, Anya is gender non-binary. They use they, them pronouns.
Okay.
But yes, both Anya and Mara, it's amazing. Because I remember, you know, my 4 years of high school Spanish and just barely skating by, you know? Just barely doing it. And I think I could keep up with them for the first year.
Like first
grade.
It's amazing how much they can learn and how much they can, you know, just they become fluent.
Yeah. It's so amazing to see kids are like this microcosm where you can, they're like sponges, and so you can see the learning process in this crazy accelerated rate, right? Like, Anya is now into stage crew. They do lighting and set rig. They're into robotics. They're on the electrical team on robotics. And, like, they just pick it up. They're just like, yeah, I want to do a thing. And next thing I know, they're doing it, like, every day after school, hours at a time, making a drivetrain for a robot that picks up balls and puts them in bins. I mean,
that's amazing.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't argue.
And
that.
I'm like, that would take me 10 years to just
to read the first book.
Right. To literally to have the time to set aside to do it. Right.
Yeah.
Their brains are ready for information, but also like their lives are at a point where they can do things like that. It's just great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love seeing my kids. I love seeing kids grow and change.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
All right.
So what are you doing at the con here at Kuba?
Meetings. That's my first thing. The sales and event coordinator reached out to me and said, do you want to have Big Bad here in the future? Because we're growing.
Wow.
So right now the Marriott's big enough, but sooner or later it might not be. So we were touring the space. That was kind of interesting.
That's news.
I mean, yeah. You heard it here first. And maybe you heard it here only first, because who knows. But that was fun. And then I am, on my other life, I am a game designer and project manager for Evil Hat.
Yes.
So I have the Blades in the Darkness, Blades in the Dark supplement, Spirit Wardens. So I'm going to be playtesting that. I have Agon, and I also have an Agon hack, because we have to hack a game before it's even come out. Ride or Die. So if you want to play some Fast and the Furious action, if you want to play some Big Greek Heroes, if you want to play some spooky Ghostbusters, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be running around here in the atrium.
You're not busy at all.
It's chill. This is so cool. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we still got to interview, get more in depth in Big Bad and all that
anytime.
Stuff.
Anytime. I'm going to leave some players.
Yes, so please do.
Thank you. So right, good seeing both of you.
So, Morgan, you want to. We have a exhibitor over here that want to talk. But we also have Morgan, who's.
Just saying hello.
Saying hello. You don't want to be on the microphone?
I think exhibitor is.
More important.
Hello.
We'll be here. We'll be here. Come back in a few minutes. So, what's your name?
I'm Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
So, what's an exhibitor do here?
Oh, well, show your games or show what you're working on, and hopefully meet people who are interested in the kinds of things that you are excited about doing, and get ideas from people, feedback, or find out what people are looking for in some kind of products like yours.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how long have you been coming to KublaCon? Is this your first year?
Oh, God. I think I want to say like 5 years
or so. Wow. So you're a veteran.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I know people have been coming for a lot longer. Yeah, do you know how long it's been going?
2001 was the first year. And then they've been here at this hotel since, I forget.
Oh, yeah.
But they've been here a while.
2003 or
2004. 2003 or
2004,
yeah. Yeah, but still 5 years. You know, you already know what to expect and how everything works, sort of.
The staff has been like super duper friendly and nice, and they all seem to like know what they're doing, and they've got the like protocol down, so I guess they've probably been at it for a while.
So do you have like a schedule that you do here?
Well, I am at a really small company, and it's basically two people, so my schedule is the whole time. We're starting at the beginning, and it's probably silly idea to do a podcast at the beginning and run my mouth and,
not
save it for, you know, doing
so it. What company do you work for?
Temple Gates Games.
Temple Gates Games.
Digital board game apps.
Oh.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So we work on things like Race for the Galaxy or Shards of Infinity, which is the new kind of Ascension game. It's a sequel to Ascension. Role for the Galaxy.
So role-playing game app, are you talking about the whole game in an app and an app, or something that assists in playing the game?
Yeah, there's a couple different kinds. The ones that we do are basically taking the entire board game that you might play out of a box and converting the whole thing into a phone version so that you can like play with, you know, I play with my sister who lives across the country.
Oh yeah. Wow, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's neat. And you know, and you're right, there's people who come to conventions and that's the only place they see them, right? Because they live so far away or they're not no longer live in the same area, like in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And so, like my brother, he moved to Washington and I see him here, but you know, we still play online, and so this is one way you can play with your friends still and not necessarily be in the same room or state.
That's totally true. I was just chatting with I guess there's a group over here from Chico and they all went to college together and then they just like meet at KublaCon every year, and it is nice to have something like in between to just kind of like, you know, also you know, practice your strategies so that you're not rusty when you come back. You want to beat all your friends back from college.
You gotta work on those games. You want to be loose.
That's
our son. He's
gonna be
a.
Does he come on the podcast sometimes?
No,
he refuses.
He refuses.
He's 15, so you know.
So, do you play games outside the app?
Yeah, I mean, the reason that I work at the company and my other friends who work there, we all met in a board game club.
Oh, cool.
And we were working on video games at the time, but this was like a club within the company. We were working at Maxis, which makes like SimCity.
Oh, yeah. And stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And then we just played a bunch of board games, and eventually that turned into us having a like little board game app company.
That is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And so do you play in anything else other than board games? Do you play role-playing games or anything like that? No?
I gotta say, I'm much more in the, I like the structure of a board game. I mean, it takes a special skill to do a role-playing game. Like, you have to be improvising and creative, I think. A little, like, I sometimes yeah. I just... I don't know.
You're shy?
I like the little,
oh, yeah, yeah, the
you like the structure.
Yes, yeah, like okay. Because I think that there's this... Sometimes I get a little paranoid that there's, like, this popularity stuff that can play out when there's, like, more subjective decision-making sometimes.
Yeah,
I like it when something is just like, this is this, you know, you rolled a 3, and that's a 3, not like, you rolled a 3, so, and how much do I like you, and so here's what happens.
I remember there was a game that you were in... it was the Senators of Catan, where there was a husband and wife team,
oh, no.
And they didn't want to trade with anybody else.
Oh, no.
So her and the other guy, this other guy was playing. They're like, so I guess we're gonna trade with each other.
Well, that's like it's like polarizing what happens with a husband and wife. Sometimes they help each other, but sometimes they will not help each other. And
yes.
I mean, I think that's more fun for other people. And yes. They don't because then
other
like,
people to watch, but not
yeah,
the
we always split up husband and wife.
Yeah,
when
that's
they play
okay.
with us.
Yeah,
and actually,
they
go.
Argue.
We actually separate each other, right? So like we're not next to each other.
Yeah.
So it's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah
that's cool.
That's
so how long is what's the name of the company you work for?
The company is Temple Gates Games.
Temple Gates
yeah.
Games. How long has it been around?
I think it was 2013. So
wow.
It's been
wow.
6 years.
Wow.
6 years, yeah.
So do you have a website that you
We do? TempleGatesGames.com.
Okay.
And or you know, if you want to look in the App Store, you can just look up Race for the Galaxy on Android
oh, yeah.
or iOS.
And
or
Race
Steam.
For the Galaxy is a big game. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I used to own it, but my wife didn't like it that much. But but I gave it to a friend, and he loves that game.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's
yeah.
cool.
It's one of, again like it's kind of polarizing. I think people either love it or
yes.
they hate it. They see the symbols and they're like. Look at this! I wouldn't dive right in. No, I never want to see.
There's
it
a lot of symbols in the game, but you could say the same for like Seven Wonders, right? If you ever played Seven Wonders,
yeah.
There's a lot of icons and stuff in
yeah.
it, and so, but yeah, I think once you get that game,
yeah.
it turns out to be, and they have a ton of expansions for it too. I
they
think.
Do, yeah. And Seven Wonders also, we didn't work on it, but they also have a fantastic mobile app out there.
Yes.
And I think these games that use the symbols, like Seven Wonders or Race for the Galaxy, they're so great for doing them on a phone because you really condense a lot
right.
of that information into like one little thing. And the problem
right.
when you're making a board game on the phone is you don't have a lot of space.
Space.
Like you're used
well,
to
I don't
a
know. Those,
table.
Have you seen those phablets now? I mean, they're pretty huge.
Oh, I know. They are getting bigger. And I love that. I'm like, oh, good. But then we still have to kind of think about the smallest common denominator when we're
right.
designing
yeah.
it. So we still have to think about your tiny little phone.
Can I play on my Nokia? Can I play on that? Like Blueberry?
I will confess that I play Ticket to Ride, Seven Wonders,
oh yeah.
Settlers of Catan, all kinds of games on my tablet
oh,
every
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so and that's what's good about the apps. They're really well done. I mean,
yeah.
so and that means a lot. I mean, because if it's not a good port, as they say, call it,
right.
then you know, you're like,
well,
ugh.
Some of them are definitely better than others.
Yes.
And I
yes.
think what's happening is now that there's more and more apps like you're playing, we're starting to see who's emerging as like, you know, these ones are shining, and these, you know, just like with the board game app, with the physical board game publishers,
right.
you know,
yes.
some of them do a great job with the
right.
art.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some of them are just like, well, you're lucky this is a really good design. And we're seeing that.
You're lucky this good game is fun because it looks terrible.
Yeah, not naming any names.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So what do you guys are just, I don't remember you guys at KugelCon before, but maybe I just didn't see you.
No.
Have you been doing this?
We've only been doing the podcast for a year.
Yeah.
We've been at KugelCon since... 2001.
Yeah,
oh,
since
no,
it started.
Beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
And so what happened was is that we told Mike the producer.
Right, Mike Eckert.
And yeah, Mike Eckert.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I want to go on your podcast. So last year we came on, and then he invited me to. He goes, hey, you want to do your podcast from KugelCon? I go,
yeah,
yeah, sure.
And this is so cool, like that you're just letting people kind of walk
yeah.
by
yeah,
if they
yeah.
want to talk. They can talk. I heard the guy who was here right before me, and he was sort of talking about the projects he works on. And
yeah.
I gotta say, like, there's probably so many people here working on creative things, and
yes.
you just want
you
to
don't
tell
know.
People about
yes.
it. And it's just so nice that you guys are offering a platform where people, if they have something they
yeah.
want to share, like,
no.
they can come and feel
I mean,
welcome to come up and share it.
And why not? You know, because like. That's what we. That's one of the things I like about conventions is that you come and you, You play with, sure, you play with your friends, but sometimes a new player comes.
Yeah, and that's always the best.
And you know, and maybe they're okay or maybe they're great, but what also is that maybe they'll go, oh, hey, we tried this game.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll introduce you to a new game. You're like, wow, this is a really good game. Yeah. And so it really is a kind of like a community, you know, and a community building and evolving. And that's why we like people to sit down and like, hey,
tell
have
us
a
what
seat.
They do. Yeah, it's cool.
Tell
it's
us about your KublaCon experience, right?
Yeah, like, I feel like I have so many friends, and I think so many people do, from exactly what you're saying. You can feel comfortable walking up to anyone here if they're playing gaming, like, and you just know, well, we already have a ton in common, because we already play board games, or role-playing games, right, or whatever it is, yeah. So we know we're kind of on the same wavelength.
Yes.
And so if the conversation's just taking a nosedive or something, we'll just talk about games, and we'll play again, and you just have that safety net of knowing that, versus, like, you know, like some other time where if you walk up to a group, they'll be like, who are you? Why are you standing here weirdly? Nobody invited you. And this is literally happens to me. And I'm so scared to do it except for a convention.
Well, here,
like this.
It should be good for you to be able to do that here because everybody wants to tell you what they're doing and about the game they're playing. And if you ask any question, I don't know if you've gone into the miniature room where they have war games and stuff. You go in there and you ask a question, they'll tell you all about it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And any games, someone will teach you, they'll ask you.
Oh, they'll ask you, do you want to play? Or like, no, I'm just looking, you know. Especially those like 6 to 8 hour war games where the miniatures are moving and stuff like that.
Right.
So.
That's one of my favorite things about board games is that I feel like they're this really unique medium for offering expertise. Like anyone can be an authority on something and they'll have an audience if they spend like an hour learning about it. You learn a board game or whatever the thing is, learn how to paint a miniature or do a miniature. Maybe I don't do miniatures, so it probably takes more than an hour to figure all that out. But like you can then become the expert and then find people who want to learn from you.
Yeah.
Whereas I think a lot of people in their daily job, they're like, oh, I have my boss. Maybe I have someone under me, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, and like, you know, you don't, if you're not in a teaching position, you just never get to do that.
Right.
And it's nice to give people that, again, that platform where they can feel kind of like, well, they can be an expert.
Yeah.
And show off a little bit.
I haven't thought about that, but you're
correct. And someone else appreciates it.
Yes, and there's always a need.
Because it's like this pyramid scheme in a really good way, but then that person can go be the expert.
Yes.
And then, you know, because by learning something, you're sort of like, you're getting something. You get to be an expert next time.
Right.
So you're willing to learn from this one person. So, yeah.
No.
Yeah,
and what's funny is that I've been playing role-playing games since I was 11 years old. And it was me and my brother. And I'm the youngest of 10, really. But anyway, so my older siblings were like, what are you playing? You know?
Yeah.
And so a few years ago, I started having a board game birthday party. So my family would come and they would just, you know, eat with us and talk with us. And then some of them start playing board games with us and they're like, oh, this is really fun. And then they're now they have board game parties at their houses.
Oh, yeah.
And their friends.
I
infected
them. Gave them a bug.
Yeah, and it's really neat. And it's like this, and it's just something, and it's something that you could do that is away from the computer, away from the TV.
Yeah,
and
unless you're playing the app.
Unless you're playing the app, which is cool. You know, but...
Which saves me, because sometimes I'm like, I don't want to deal... When I get home from work, I just want to do something for a few minutes that is nobody.
Yeah.
And just me and the computer players.
Right.
I feel you. I'm
totally
get away. But I feel like nobody wants to admit, because they're like, oh no, they're like it's so noble to like be at a table with other people and the pieces.
It is. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree, but you're right. But if you can't... You know, some people don't have a community to play, or they're shy, or whatever.
Right.
And if there's an app that lets you play with your friends that are now, you know, separated everywhere after moving away from high school or whatever. I play games online with my brother who moved to Washington and my friend who lives in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's neat. It's.
I go on with my mom. She moved away, and we'll go on Skype.
Yes.
And then we'll be playing, you know, and share a screen or whatever, and then we'll be able to chat about our day.
Yeah.
And also, if you don't have something to say, you know, it's not awkward. You just keep playing your game, you know? Like, it's not as, like, versus if you're on a phone call, you have to be talking the whole time. Otherwise, it's just weird. Like, just...
The pause, the quiet pause.
Oh, you gonna say anything
Phil
else?
Phil knows nothing about that. He talks all the time.
Oh yeah, you guys are good at talking if you do a podcast.
Well, I don't know about that. Sometimes I just like, but you're right. I think that is pretty interesting. You're right because sometimes you know you run out of things to say, And you're just like looking at each other. And
right.
Like,
no, I know exactly how you feel because sometimes you get into conversations with people and there's a pause and you're like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Is this the end of the conversation?
I always go, like at parties and stuff, I have a hard time with that. But yeah. Here, I don't have a hard time with that because I can talk to anybody about a board game.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's like fail safe. Yeah.
So how long have you been playing board games?
Well, so this board game club really introduced me to them, and that was probably like 2008 or something when I started in that. Before, and I would come, every time I would come to this thing, I would bring my trusty Scrabble board, and nobody would make eye contact with it. Like, nobody would even acknowledge, nobody would even acknowledge that I was bringing this thing. It was so, like, we're not even going to look at that in that direction. And then,
I like Scrabble.
I love Scrabble too. That's what I grew up with. I grew up with Scrabble, Yahtzee,
yes.
Boggle.
Yeah. Boggle, yeah. Yes, yes.
But so the new wave of
they're like,
games.
They're like, they're pushing away that game with their feet because they don't want to make it. No, that is hilarious because you're right. You know, people, you go, oh, there's a board game. Well, I know what board game is. And you go, and they're like, well, no, that's not a board game. But Scrabble's a great game.
It's a great game.
And there's plenty of, and you're right, there's structure, there's rules. I mean, I guess you could, I don't know how you could cheat.
They won't play Boggle with me because
no,
I make too many words and they don't.
Yes.
That's the problem. I think that's the thing. Like, there's this kind of generation of people that were not good at Scrabble.
Right.
And then they're like, but they're good at board games and they're like, oh, it's totally different. But, like, if you think about what if Scrabble came out today and you know what would be different? It would have a big freaking theme.
Right.
And there'd be all this art on it. It would just be red. Like, your theme is not red. That's not a viable theme.
That's hilarious.
Well, because Words with Friends. And I know there's a Scrabble app or more than one, and people play those all the time.
Yeah,
I play it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's funny. Yeah. But no, you know, if you'd come to our group and you brought Scrabble, we're like, let's play Scrabble. Not like shun you or like, yeah. Don't want to make eye contact. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I can see people doing that. Going,
yeah.
This is not that kind of board game.
And it makes me think that there's got to be like this. I feel like there is some kind of like generational sort of gatekeeping around like what board games. Like my grandma played like Euchre and Hearts and Spades and stuff, and I don't even know those games at all. And then my mom's generation is like on the, I think board games became this kids thing.
Yeah.
So it's like
Chutes
and Ladders and Candyman and people.
Monopoly.
So now when I tell people I work on board games, there's a lot of people who think, oh, okay, so you work on Guess Who?
Yeah.
And you know, Guess Who's cool, but like, no, that's not. And you know, the next generation, they're going to like talk about things like Dominion and Race for the Galaxy and be like, what is...
Well, that's like grandma's game.
Yeah.
That's totally true, though. But you're right. But depending on who you talk to, they're like, oh, they go, oh, I'm going to a gaming convention.
Yeah.
First, like, gambling? Like, like Nevada? No, like board games. They're like, Monopoly?
Yeah,
I'm like, no. And then you try to explain to them, and they're like... That's crazy, or that's totally wacko, or they'll say it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you were trying to explain it to your coworkers, right?
Yes, I couldn't explain. So I call Ticket to Ride the gateway game into European board gaming.
Yeah.
And if you can get someone to sit down and learn that game, then they're good. That's what we did with his family.
Yes.
They played it a few times, and then they're like, oh, what else is there? But I tried to explain it to my coworkers what a gaming convention was, and they had no clue what I was talking about. So I'm just like,
Just smiling away.
And my husband's going to make me do a podcast too.
Well, the last year. It's kind of hard to twist your arm, honey. She says, like, I've twisted her arm to do the podcast.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I should make sure that I'm good on time because I'm supposed to be
absolutely.
In the hall. Yeah, I should probably do.
So, do you, when you exhibit it, you're actually showing people the app that you guys have?
Yeah. Wow. So, we've got, like, a couple iPads down there, and people can come.
And this is in the dealer's room?
In the dealer's room. We're the first table right when you walk in on the right.
Okay.
So Temple Gates Games, come check it out. And tell us what you like or what you hate or.
Thank you so much for coming in.
No, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you, and I have to look up the podcast. And
oh, here, take the card.
Yeah.
Don't need to look it up. You can hear yourself soon.
Have a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you for talking to us.
Bye.
That's pretty cool.
That was very cool.
Yeah.
I do play apps all the time on my tablet. I play Ticket to Ride. I don't remember, and I feel really bad. I don't remember what Race for the Galaxy is.
Race for the Galaxy is a card game, and
it's
in that little box.
You had to have two boxes. Because you had to play with.
That's Star Realms.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's a little box about the size of what's that game? Like Glenmore. And it had a lot of icons, and there was roles that you did. So, yeah. So, there you go. So, what I was going to talk about is ports of games. So, there's quite a few games out there that, board games, and there is a ton of games, well, I wouldn't say a ton, but there's quite a few games where they actually ported them for to use on an iPad or on an iPhone or on your Android tablet. And it's been amazing because the games, some of them are really nice and they're really neat. So it's a good way of playing, even if like you have nobody to play with.
Because I wake up really early in the morning.
Oh yeah.
And Saul likes to sleep later, and so usually when we come to conventions or we go anywhere and we stay at a hotel, I usually wake up and everybody's still asleep. So I just get my tablet and play. I usually play. Sellers of Catan.
You play Istanbul.
So that's pretty cool that we got to meet somebody who actually works on making those kind of games.
Yeah, on Race
and I know some of our friends do stuff like that. And,
right.
But I don't know exactly what they do.
Well, we do have quite a few programmers, right?
Because people tell me stuff and I don't always pay attention.
Well, our friend Jim, he programmed something for the iPad.
Yeah,
he did. And it was an app for like kids. Like they would push on a button or to put something on the screen that would make the animal noise and stuff like that. So I was talking about the apps, and they're really nice. I mean, when the apps first started coming out, some of the games were kind of, they left a lot of wanting. They didn't look very nice. They weren't intuitive. But now, like, you look at Splendor, you look at Istanbul, and they're, like, they look really nice. The graphical interface is really pretty. It's just really well done. Some of them are really well done. And they're like literally like playing the board game. You play Lords of the Waterdeep
and it is just like playing the board
game. Yeah, and what's good about
that one? The computer players are really hard.
but what's funny is that you kind of learn, like if there was
any way. You learn different strategies when you do it.
And you learn if we're playing wrong too, right?
I learned that.
We got a rule wrong or something.
Yes, that happens a lot.
So. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So we're pretty hitting on almost an hour and a half. So we'll probably end up just talking for another 5 minutes.
And we'll be back.
Be back tomorrow. So today's Friday. This is kind of an impromptu. We decided to do a Friday instead of a Sunday.
Because I wanted to play a game on Sunday morning.
We have a tournament.
I wanted to do
play.
It. So, Ticket to Ride tournament. Not Ticket to Ride. I'm sorry. Ticket to Ride? Seven Wonders. Whoa.
Well, I wouldn't mind a Ticket to Ride tournament. I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
But there's people out there who are really good. Really good.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And it's very frustrating when you think you're really good and then. You play online and these people kill
people
you.
In there, yeah.
Real people?
Real people. Real people are harder to play against. Because they think differently.
Yes. And what's weird is that, that's another thing about conventions that I hadn't thought about, is if you play a game a lot, let's say like Ticket to Ride, or even Lords of Waterdeep, and you play with your friends all the time, if you play with somebody different, they might actually, they just think differently, and so you might actually learn something from them that you don't normally.
A different strategy.
Yes, different strategies. And you're like, whoa, I never even thought of playing that way or using this or doing, depending on what the game is.
But there are also some people at board game conventions that are really, really good. And when you play with them, they win everything or beat you at everything. So sometimes it's a little hard to do that. But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so. When I first learned Splendor, this lady taught it to me. And I was like, man, this is a really fun game. And then
she kicked
killed
butt.
Me. Killed me. I was like, wow, that wasn't very fun. I don't know if I like this game. But what happened was I ended up buying it, and then we played it, and I'm like, yeah, this is a good game.
Yeah, some of our friends have a little problem with it, but yeah.
I remember our friend, he taught somebody how to play Rook, remember? I think it was Felipe and Sip. And they never would play that game again because he just crushed them.
Yes. So, anyway, we're going to sign off now.
We're going to sign off.
And this is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
And you have a good night.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Or hear you tomorrow or something like that.
We'll be here tomorrow.